Fall night, the absolute carnage from Anthony Edwards detonating John Collins and himself with this dunk. And then another kind of, well, basketball night. Jalen Johnson on Austin Reeves. Yowza.
Nobody had your view.
Don't want my view.
Mina, Courtney, David, Bill, let's go. Folks, we start with the dunk that shattered everything. Anthony Edwards on John Collins. Let's appreciate the different looks here. Also, was it maybe an offensive foul? You want to say traveling? Was it even really a dunk? But also the fallout. Poor John Collins left the game with a head injury, and even Ant-Man had to go back to the locker room to get his dislocated finger reset. In the end, another win for the Timberwolves, and tonight they host the Nuggets. So David Dennis, let's start with you. What do you want to begin with that incredible moment last night?
I want to begin with the first part of the introduction there. For any dweeb out there who looks at this and says, oh, that's not a dunk, he didn't touch the rim. Shut up and enjoy one of the most remarkable plays that we have seen from one of the most remarkable players in the league who is racking up plays like this on a nightly basis. Now, in terms of the long-term outlook for this Minnesota Timberwolves team, this is the Anthony Edwards that we are going to have to see in the playoffs. I've voiced a lot of concerns for this team and what they're going to do. They have, fallen apart 2 years ago against that Grizzlies team in the first round. They fell apart. They fell apart last year with Rudy Gobert punching players in the sidelines and all that stuff. They have some mental sort of issues when it comes to holding steady, and they're going to be playing some veteran teams in that first round. They may not be as talented, but Phoenix, Dallas, LA, or even Golden State have shown that they can beat, you know, like they took those teams, took out the Grizzlies and the Kings last year. They're going to be tough in the first round. They need somebody like Anthony Edwards to take over and be that guy. So this is who we're going to have to see going into the playoffs.
Excellent points. You call me a dweeb, however, only my kids get to call me a dweeb. Bill Barnwell, what about that play last night? What'd you make of it?
I love watching Kyle Anderson on this play. Not the dunker, not the dunked on, but Kyle Anderson has his hands in his face like he's in the Scream, the painting. It looks like he has seen some stuff that nobody should have to see on an NBA court. That tells you how sick of a dunk this is. And Darren brought up the people at the teams at the bottom of the Western Conference. I think what we've seen from the Timberwolves against the top of the conference is exciting to me. Against the Thunder, against the Nuggets, against the Pelicans, against the Clippers, they're already 8-5 this season. They're beating the other top teams in the Western Conference. And we saw last night, the Jazz, not the stiffest competition, but they went out and beat them without Karl-Anthony Towns, without Rudy Gobert, and even without Naz Reid for half the game. It wasn't a performance where Anthony Edwards had to put the team on his back and did so figuratively and perhaps literally for a victory.
So Mina, about 10 days ago, Anthony Edwards won a game with a game-ending block. Now he has this play last night. Which one did you like better?
Oh, God, I love a good block. But this, to me, stands out because it married both the entertainment factor and also substance, which actually really is how I view Anthony Edwards generally as a player who marries those two things, because the game really did feel like it turned on this incredible game. And you know, with what it means for the Wolves, I think, is significant, because I was concerned about this team when Cat went down, particularly the offense, already average, I thought would fall off a cliff. But since Towns has been out, they've actually held serve on offense. The rating has been the same, largely because of Edwards, who has averaged 32 points a game without Karl-Anthony Towns on 47% shooting. But also last night, you saw the bench really contribute. They were plus 11. Nikhil Alexander-Walker was terrific. And they're going to need to continue to contribute moving forward as they play more difficult opponents like, of course, the Nuggets.
Just to recap, Mina says she likes blocks, so we'll give her a little one right there. Courtney, what about that play from Anthony Edwards?
it's what it did for the rest of the team. They were trailing by 15 late in the first quarter. They were having trouble defending at the rim. And then that happens, and that gives them the spark they need to go on and win this game when they've got a really big one against Denver tonight. You know, they're coming off the midst of this really long road stretch, and we knew it was going to be a gauntlet for them. But for them to be in that one seed, two seed range where they are right now, they are there because of Anthony Edwards. This is somebody who was able to proverbially pick up the slack when all the players that Bill just mentioned weren't playing last night. He's the guy making the plays in the front court. He's making plays for other players too. Like, we've known he's a playmaker and one of the best in the NBA, but it's what he's doing for his teammates that's making Minnesota able to stay afloat without Karl Anthony Towns. Now, I agree with David. They're going to need Kat back for the playoffs to make a deep push, but Ant is doing everything he can right now to keep this team afloat, and he's making it exciting at that.
Dennis, the winner of tonight's game between Denver, Minnesota, first one to 48 wins in the Western Conference. Get the last word in.
I think the Nuggets are going to win tonight. One of the issues I've seen, their clutch performance by the Wolves were great up until about December. Since then, they're about 500 in clutch games. The playoffs are all about those clutch moments. They're going to have to get better at that.
All right, we've been horned. Let's move on. The fallout from the Justin Fields trade. Here is Robert Griffin III.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become.
Interesting. Courtney, this is your beat. How do you hear RG3?
Well, first off, Robert Griffin III is a big Justin Fields supporter. He's gone on record saying that he felt the team should have traded the number one overall pick and built around Justin Fields. But let's talk about his argument here. He's saying that Caleb Williams, if drafted by the Bears, should pull an Eli Manning, meaning say I'm not going to play there, trade me somewhere else. And then his logic is to go play for the Washington Commanders because apparently they're the model of quarterback stability, unlike Chicago. This is a team in Washington that's had 12 quarterback start games since Kirk Cousins left there in 2018. It's a complete non sequitur, but there is some truth and nuance to what Robert Griffin said about the quarterback situation in Chicago. They have struggled and failed to draft and develop a rookie quarterback. So, of course, from one quarterback to another, that's what he's trying to caution against. But one thing he said that's not true here, this is not the regime that drafted Justin Fields. It's a new front office and new coaching staff. So I don't think that was entirely fair to lump Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles into the mix for the group that ultimately failed Justin Fields because of what they brought him into as a rookie.
All right, Mina, everyone's for player empowerment, but what about in this case? Are you going to do that if you're Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I like the general idea of a player taking the reins and, you know, forcing his way out of a bad situation. But this is not a bad situation, which is why it doesn't really make sense, in part because of the failure of the last few years, the ability to amass draft picks have turned into good players, trades they've made. This Bears team, I think, is actually probably one of the better landing spots for a young quarterback that we've seen recently, certainly of the top three teams drafting this year. I mean, it's a defense that finished eighth in weighted DVOA last year, which is skewed towards the end of the season. It's a large part of why Matt Eberflus is still the head coach. An offensive line that's improved a lot, finished fifth in ESPN's pass block win rate. They've added pieces both in the trade last year, trading for DJ Moore, who was excellent, but also acquiring Keenan Allen this year, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett. I could go on. If I'm Caleb Williams, I look at this team and I say, yeah, I want to play for the Chicago Bears, and I don't understand an argument against
that. Plus, it's a big market. There's nothing wrong with playing for the Chicago Bears. Bill Barnwell, what about you?
The part that I don't really understand about this logic is the idea that the Justin Fields trade that just happened, where he went to the Steelers for a day three pick, proves that the Bears do not have the best interest of Justin Fields or the current roster at heart, because they didn't get a veteran back. That makes no sense. This is free agency. There's better players available right now for free in the free agent market than there are in terms of what the guys the Bears would have got back for Fields in a trade. I know people expected Justin Fields to have a big market. I know probably Robert Griffin, who's a Justin Fields fan, expected Justin Fields to have a big trade market. He did not, because NFL trades are not about talent. They're about leverage. And the Bears, who had the first overall pick, are clearly taking a quarterback and have a guy with 1 year left who has not been good his last 3 years, did not have any leverage in making this deal.
So where we sit today, Which quarterback are they taking number one overall? Is it going to be Caleb Williams?
I believe it is going to be Caleb Williams.
David Dennis, what about this whole situation with Caleb Williams and what RG3 said?
Well, first of all, I'm going to demand a trade, and it's March 19th. I'm demanding the RG3 trade that Christmas tree in the background and replace it with some Easter baskets. Come
no
on, man. What are we doing
though.
Here? Yeah, what are we doing? I don't understand any of this. And also, I don't trust anybody with that many Funko Pops, but that's neither here nor there. The thing that we're talking about here is moving to the Commanders, as Courtney said, but also we talk about Eli. He was traded down to the fourth. Traded with the team that had the fourth pick. That's the Arizona Cardinals this year. There's not that much of a good landing spot besides the Bears. That's the best place for him right now, especially considering who would be in that situation. So I'm not sure where that logic comes from, what's going on. There may have been a few months ago you could have had that talk, but what the Bears have done this offseason has made this a viable spot for any rookie coming to that organization.
All right, Courtney, I want to get you back in here. What about some of the moves that the Bears have made during free agency? They're doing a good job building a team, aren't they?
They are, and Robert Griffin said as much up until the point that they traded Justin Fields in his eyes. And when you go and watch the entire clip from that thing that we saw on Twitter, he goes off and lists the new additions, the Keenan Allens, DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, pairing those two players with the two players that I mentioned that were already on the roster and called them all phenomenal. So how can that be a bad situation for a quarterback to go to as a rookie when the weapons around him are quote unquote phenomenal? It just didn't make a lot of sense.
Mina Kimes, real quickly, what about the moves the Bears made?
I like them a lot, especially the Keenan Allen trade jumps out. I mean, that guy is a quarterback's best friend. He's so consistent, so reliable. And if they do take Caleb Williams, it will help his development a lot.
There's your horn. We're going to take a break here. Buy or sell next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Dodgers-Padres, first pitch of the season tomorrow at 6 a.m. Eastern. That's 3 o'clock for you, Mina. But last night, another free agent domino falling. Blake Snell, reigning NL Cy Young winner, signed by the Giants. The NL West is going to be a heavyweight fight all year. 2 years, $62 million. Snell can opt out after year one. Mina, where did the Giants stack up against their NL West counterparts?
This puts them firmly in the mix. I mean, this was a rotation that was 10th in baseball last year with, of course, the NL Cy Young runner-up and Logan Webb. Now you add Snell, along with additions like Jung-Hoo Lee from Korea, Matt Chapman, and they are built to compete.
Courtney, you like the move?
I do. I was a little surprised, though, to see 262 next to someone who has reigning Cy Young winner next to his name. And I get it. I mean, it's basically a one-year deal because there's an opt-out after this season. But to Mina's points, the Giants are going all in, and they have to in the NL West. The Dodgers spent $1.2 bajillion, meaning billion dollars, on the roster this offseason. The Diamondbacks added to their really young core that just got them to a World Series. And the Padres just traded for an ace last week when they got Dylan Cease. So the Giants very much toe-for-toe with everybody else in their division.
I think the agent Scott Boras was hoping that the Yankees, with Garrett Cole injured, would take a run at Blake Snell. David Dennis, what about Blake Snell of the Giants?
Yeah, they get a guy who led the league in opponent batting average and ERA. And for, this shows that the Giants team is going all in. I don't think they're better than necessarily the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks. But what they did is they went over the luxury tax for the first time in a long time. And they actually gave up picks for this move. And that's the first time they've done that since 2005, which indicates that this is a team that is not going to go quietly in this stacked division.
So you got to compete with those other teams. Bill Barnwell, what about the move the Giants made?
Good for the Giants, bad for baseball. The Giants cut J.D. Davis, did not pay his arbitration award of $7 million after he won a couple weeks ago. They used some of those savings to go out and make an upgraded pitcher. Understand why they did that, best for the team, but unfair to Davis, who ended up in free agency about 3 months after he should have been on the market. I think that's a loophole, as free agents sign later and later, that the MLB and MLBPA are both going to be incentivized to close up in the years to come.
Another signing, this one in the NFL, Chase Young and the Saints. 1 year, $13 million. Young went from Washington to the 49ers at the deadline last season. Now another new start. Courtney, what does Chase Young do for the Saints?
I don't know just yet. All I know is that he got paid a lot for someone whose best season, Frank, was in 2020 as a rookie. 7.5 sacks. For the Saints to fully guarantee all of that, that was an eyebrow raiser, but they desperately need pass rush help, and hopefully Chase Young's going to be able to provide that for them the way that he really wasn't able to after getting traded from Washington to San Francisco at the deadline last year. This is a team that was 28th in pass rush, their pass rush ranking from ESPN, and they needed help, and they didn't get it from the guys that they brought in last year via the draft.
David?
It depends on which one they're getting. Are they getting Chase Young from his rookie year or the one from the last couple of years? A high risk, high reward situation. The Saints had the second worst pass rush win rate in the league. So if he can, you know, help with that, that's a big, that's a big boon for them. But the problem is, this does not help their offense. They still have Derek Carr as a quarterback. They still only had one person give a 20-yard rushes in the season. So this, the offense still needs a ton of help if they're going to compete at all in the NFC South.
Bill Barnwell, Chase Young to the Saints. What do you make of it?
They needed to get younger. This is the oldest team in football a year ago, only getting older with their core. You bring in an injection of youth with Chase Young. My only question is this. Young was better last year in Washington than he was in San Francisco. And the Niners, Chris Kocurek, the defensive line coach, is highly regarded as a guy who gets the most out of his players. If Young got worse after he went to San Francisco, what does that tell us about what he's going to do now in New Orleans, where he's not going to have the same caliber of defensive line coach?
From Billy Football to Madam Football. Mina, what about Chase Young to the Saints?
I forgot about that nickname. It's a huge area of need, as everybody has said. The Saints pass rush has now actually been an issue for a few years, not just last season, ranks near the bottom of the NFL. This is a band-aid solution for a team that really didn't have any other options because they don't have the cap space to sign any of the big names in free agency. They're going to have to get better in the draft. For me, this is them saying, okay, we need something. He's available. Let's see if we can grab some of Young's upside.
That's one expensive band-aid. Speaking of band-aids, remember that Anthony Edwards dunk? Of course you do. Not the only posterization last night. Jalen Johnson on Austin Reeves. Ay, ay, ay. Another kind of pain in force. Post game, asked about it by Dan Wokey of the LA Times.
What happened on that first play?
Everybody's seen what happened.
Nobody had your view.
No, what my view?
David, fair or foul for that question, and how did Reeves do in his answer?
It is an absolutely fair question to ask because I've been on this for a long time. If you try to take a charge on a dunk and somebody successfully dunks on you, you deserve the embarrassment. No charges on dunks. If the hand touches the rim, don't take the charge. Try to block it like a real defender. And if it doesn't happen, get all the embarrassing questions that you can handle after that game.
Kemba Mutombo just texted me. He said to mute me for saying that about getting dunked on. Bill Barnwell.
Austin Reeves had the most fortuitous timing imaginable. If you're going to get dunked on and posterized in that way, have it happen on the same night where the dunk of the season occurs elsewhere. Timing in life is everything.
Mina.
The question was ballsy. The answer was funny. Well, it was ballsy. It was a funny answer. Also, I like to see the spotlight a little bit on Jalen Johnson, who's been a bright spot for, you know, an otherwise depressing offseason.
It was on him last night. Courtney.
I like the question. I like the answer. I hate that he had to live through that moment, but it's being replayed over and over and over again on social media. I am not surprised that we would not want to see that view, the way that Austin Reeves so eloquently put it.
He handled it well, really well. Courtney, let's hope you handle this well. Bill Barnwell, thank you. Goodbye to you. Hoping you handle that well. All right, look who it is. David and Mina. I thought they had like a podcast or something. Something like that. Showdown is next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Mina and David, it's Showdown, and this is March. Men 20 starts tonight, sort of. Play-in games, the 16 seeds Wagner and Howard go first, followed by the 10 seeds Virginia and Colorado State. Last year, two of the four teams in the play-in won in the next round. So, Mina, which play-in team tonight, or those that play tomorrow, Grambling, Montana State, Colorado State, or Boise State, could win in the real tournament?
I'm going to go with Colorado State, the Rams. They beat Creighton, who I'm very high on, actually by 20 points, and had five quad one wins on top of that this year.
David?
I'm going with Virginia and that stifling defense. First of all, the ACC 5-1 in these play-in tournament games. Virginia hasn't allowed more than 80 points in 23 straight NCAA tournament games. That's a record.
Name me one play-in team that has made it to a Final Four. There's been two of them. Just give me one.
UCLA.
All right, you look at the two of you. David knew. You stole the answer from him. All right, Kings 121, Grizzlies 111 in overtime. In the extra period, a street-clothed, inactive Marcus Smart, got two technicals and an ejection for going after the refs during a timeout. More impressive or more reckless because he wasn't even playing? What do you think about that, David?
More kind of sad. First of all, the dude gets ejected while he's not playing. Then he goes home and listens to LeBron and J.J. Redick's podcast. LeBron says that Porzingis got traded for a bag of Lay's potato chips.
That's mean.
Which includes Marcus Smart.
That's kind of mean. Mina?
Yeah. Marcus, how are you going to get fired on your day off? I will say, this is why you trade for Marcus Smart, because he's the energy guy. He defends his teammates. He does things like this. But the podcast was tough.
I've always liked Marcus Smart, and I like your answer just a little bit better. David, get the FaceTime.
So shout out to Matt Norlander at CBS Sports. He does this thing every year where he interviews all the coaches and asks them for their favorite artists of all time. We got some interesting ones. Tom Izzo likes Jackson 5. Calipari pandered a little bit with Drake. But Hubert Davis, favorite artist of all time, is Lil Durk. I do not believe you. We need your receipts. Hubert David, where's the Spotify playlist? Give me something. What's your favorite Lil Durk song? What's your favorite Lil Durk lyric? Can you point Lil Durk in a lineup? We don't believe you. You need more people.
You're cynical like a New Yorker. Nobody had Vanilla Ice or Will Smith? I don't believe it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.